Let's pray and we'll, and I'm not going to finish this today because the Lord would not have me to finish it today. Father, we thank you now for the ministry in song, the testimony of a life that you have brought up out of the miry clay, that you rescued, Lord, from the horrors, Lord, that sin would bring upon each and every one of us. And you put a new song in his mouth, even praise to our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall put their trust in the Lord. Thank you for his testimony, for his life, for his witness, Lord, that is a light in a dark place to many. In Jesus' name, now as we go into your word, may it bring forth fruit. Holy Spirit, would you speak to every heart, Lord, and make clear what the Spirit, what you're saying to the church. In Jesus' holy name, amen, amen, amen. I want to briefly, I don't know how far, I think I will get to, I'll just go a little ways, but I'm going to be speaking out of Ephesians chapter 4, and we're coming down to the portion of Scripture where it says that Christ led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. We'll be dealing with that, and as David just shared, one of the gifts that God has given him, and exhortation, the ability to sing, amen, and to impart. I want every one of us, I've entitled the message, Grace to All. Grace to All, simply because as we come into this, we're dealing with the body of Christ, Paul ministering and talking about the unity of the Spirit. And as he comes down in verse 4, he said, there's one body and one Spirit, just as we're all called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And so he's speaking about oneness and unity and so forth. But then the next verse, he says, but to each one of us, grace, hallelujah, grace was given. I want every one of you to know that God has given you grace. Hallelujah. He's given you grace to operate and function in his body. Amen. When you wake up in the morning, you don't know it, but well, put it this way. When everything is working fine, you don't notice anything. The time that you notice something is when you wake up in the morning, when something ain't working. Okay? And why is that? Because God made the body for everything to work. Everything is to be functioning. He's given grace to every part. And so Paul in the preceding verses was talking about unity, but now, and he's still talking about unity, but he's going to break it up and deal with some gifts that have been given by Christ to the church. And I may not even get into all of the, well, I know I won't get into all of these today, but I may not even get into the first one, simply because I want to exhort you a little bit first. Amen. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift, according to the measure. And there is no limitation to Christ's ability than to bless us with gifts. Amen. As I mentioned this word gifts, I'm sure 1 Corinthians chapter 12 comes up in your mind, perhaps Romans chapter 12 comes up in your mind. And so I just want to mention those two portions of Scripture before I even go into this, because just because of the continuity of it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I don't know when the last time or if I have ever set aside time to speak uniquely about gifts. I know I have in the past, but I don't know to what degree or to what extent. But 1 Corinthians, Paul writes in chapter 12, verse 4, he says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. What I want you to notice, thank you, I just want you to notice how God in his majesty and in his beauty talks about differences in oneness. He's talking about differences, but he's still talking about one. Just like the body has many members and my finger is different from my toe, but my finger is still one with my toe. You understand what I'm saying? And so what he says here is that there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences in ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but the same God. Now, what I want you to see here, simply mentioning this, is that there are differences, but what is unique and what is paramount and chief is the person. Look at it, because it's the Trinity all over again. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. The Spirit is a person. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. There are diversities of activities, but the same God, the Father. And so though there are differences, what Paul is saying is that what is key is that we all still be one. What is he saying? He's simply saying this. Your gift may be different from my gift, but the gift is not the most important thing. The most important thing is the person, is the person, is the person, the person of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit first, but then between you and I may have a gift, but I should never use my gift to belittle the person. I should never use my gift. Come on now. And I can take you into churches right now where people get up and say they're an apostle and they're exalting themselves. I was telling my children not too long ago, I was in a friend's church. I mean, when I say I was in a friend's church, I was in a really big church, okay, on the West Coast. I mean, a really big church. And there were renowned speakers from all over the country. I'm talking from Honduras and from Mozambique. Heidi Baker was there, and David Yonggi Cho was there from the Mountain Church, not the Mountain Church, but the church in Seoul, Korea. And there were all kinds of people there. And at one point, this brother got up on the stage. And he was one of the ministers called in to teach, preach. And he began to look at all the other ministers who were called there. And he says, I want you to come up here and stand there. And I want you to do this. And I want you to come up there and stand here. And I want you to do this. He began to call everyone and orchestrate and turn things around and everything. And it wasn't his place. And there was a spirit that was, it was like uneasy. And the whole conference, everything began to get tight. And so it was just wrong. I mean, you knew it. I mean, if you had the Spirit of God anywhere in you, you knew. And this brother, I forget where he was from. He was from Ghana, Nigeria. He was from somewhere on the West Coast. And he began to go over this thing, and he was a man of God, but just what he was doing was totally out of order. It's totally out of order. And what was going on was he was exalting his place above everybody else's place. And everyone else. And I saw that it wasn't right. And I'm sitting there and I started praying, brother. Just praying. And the pastor of the church, I think at that time, I don't know, he had something like 6,000 members or more. I forget, 10,000, however many. Anyhow. And so after the Holy Spirit, what it says, the scripture says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you what. The Spirit was grieved. It was just grieved. And so my friend, he took the mic and he got up, and all he could do was get up and he just started praying in the Spirit. He's just praying in the Spirit. Because at that point, the oneness was gone. It was just gone. And so we can so easily take our gift and push it up and take other people's gift and push it down and say, mine is more important than yours. Now, I'm sure the brother didn't, you know, when we do things like that, we don't mean ill. I don't think he meant ill. It just was unfortunate what happened. Because here it says that there are diversities, there's all of these differences, But the person is to be valued, not the gift. The person. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. Ah, yes. Everyone, repeat after me. Say, I have a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You have a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, because he's given to each one. And here's what I love. Again, watch this. Verse 7. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. Here's the most important part. For the profit of all. For the profit of all who? What? For all the people. For the people. Is it for the profit of my gift? Is it so my gift can be exalted? You sit down and watch me prophesy. I feel something coming on right about now. Do you drive a white car? Oh, I feel something coming on. No. The manifestation of the gift is given for the profit of all those members in the body. In the body. I've heard teachings on gifts, the ministry of the gifts. Come on, you've heard them. All over the years, that I'm 30 some years old in the Lord now, and I look back on all that teaching and I say, Father, because you had teaching and you had people getting up trying to get their gift going. Oh, I'm gonna do this. You know, it's like you teach on the gifts. Oh, I'm gonna do it. Paul's purpose. Listen, the Corinthian church was already flowing in the gifts. Paul said to the Corinthian church, you come behind no other church in terms of manifesting the gifts. They had the gifts going. Paul had to come after he taught on the gifts. He had to say this. But I show unto you a more perfect way. He says, I got to show you. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Come on. He said, though I give my body to be burned. He talked about all the gifts, though I have all faith so that I can move mountains. Though, and he talked about the gift of faith right here. But then behind it, he says, I got to talk to you about the motivation. Because your motivation, your heart, isn't in the right place. And so any teaching on the gifts without recognizing that the person of God must be represented in the exercise of that gift first and foremost. Why? Because he's the one who gave the gift. Why must he be represented? Because the scripture says there are differences of the men of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of activities, but the same God who works. And then the scripture says in verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So that I would have to, how could I exalt my gift? How could I say to you, my gift is better than yours? Sit down when Christ is in me and Christ is in you. That's like Christ looking at Christ and saying, you know what? I'm better than you. Sit down. Come on now. God help us. That would never be the case. Okay, with that said, listen. And, the beautiful thing about, we can make things so difficult. I was thinking about this as I was reading this, and I had no intention of teaching on Corinthians chapter 12. But since I'm not going to get to the rest of the body of Ephesians chapter 4, I thought I may as well say a few words about 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But let me... Now, Father, bring that back around, because I tell you what, it was over there and then it went and it needs to come back around. It'll come back around here in a second. Amen. And so he says, for the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Oh, here it comes. There it is. Thank you, Father. Amen. Now, amen. 50 plus. Hallelujah. And listen, now 50-year-olds do not lose their mind. It just goes around, you see. It comes, see, because the thought comes. Now, I'm having fun with you. But I'm going to tell you something about the prophetic. Because we're about to talk about the gift of prophecy. When, the prophetic is I believe we experience it more than I experience it a lot when I'm here, because a thought will just come. It doesn't come from you. It comes from him. Okay? And so when the thought comes, it comes and it's there, and you need to give it. You need to share it. Otherwise, whoop, it's gone. And so now bring that thought back around. Here it comes. There it is. Amen. but let me share with you. Have you ever struggled over thinking about, okay, what gift do I have? You know, people, they teach on the gifts, and you get all introspective, and people be going, ooh, well, what gift do I have? And then they walk around, have the gifts of discerning spirits, and they're looking at people. And one pastor said, no, what you have is a gift of suspicion. That's what you have. But the gifts, I think we make it so much more difficult than it can be, because think about this. Have you ever asked someone, what do you see active? Let me just put it this way. Would anyone have any type of idea what gift our brother Carl might have? What, anyone care to take a stab at it? There it is right there. Say it louder, brother. Yeah, he has a prophetic gift. He has a prophetic gift. It's clear. All you have to do is be here on a Sunday or a Tuesday with Diane. She'd probably drive down the road. All you got to do is spend some time with him, and you will know that the brother has a prophetic gift. Okay, so why do we make gifting, teachers on gifting? We have these surveys and people filling out these long forms, and if you have this, then mark this off and mark this off. And then people, has anyone ever filled one of those out? Am I the only one? Okay. And so we fill out all these, and it says, okay, well then you are highly inclined towards the prophetic and then maybe a teaching or whatever. And we do all these. And we put people jumping through all these hoops. Why don't you just ask some mature saint? Just turn around and ask some mature saint, what type of gift? Anyone ever want to guess, kind of like just go out there a little bit on David Morales, what type of maybe gifting he might have? Thank you. There it is. Romans chapter 12. That he has a gift of exhortation. Have you ever seen the brother? I mean, listen. Here's an idea. To help you with gifting. Listen. If you have a gift, other people know it. Okay? Why? Because the gifting is, it fits you. Okay, the gifting is almost like you can't hold it back. It's like it just flows. It flows out of your, it works with your personality. It's God fit it to you. Okay, so the scripture says here, verse 8, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. The word of wisdom. Has anyone ever seen the word of wisdom operate? You ever see? You may have been in a circumstance or be sitting in a meeting or what have you, and someone, now this is divine now. This is not someone sitting there trying to ink out some wisdom. But they come, they say something, and everyone knows all at the same time. Boy, that's it. Man, my God, did you hear that? Yeah, and the meeting's over. I'll show you, one, Acts chapter 15. When they were talking about when the Judaizers came and told the Jews, you got to keep the law. And, you know, they were all arguing and carrying on. And Peter said what he said. Paul said what he said. Finally, James stood up and he said, seems clear to me, brethren, that it's clear to me and to the Holy Spirit that we put no other burdens upon these people than to abstain from sexual, you know, immorality, things defiled by blood and so forth and so on. And at that, the meeting ended. Everyone said, oh, yes, that's it. Yeah. And that's what they wrote out and sent to the churches, and the churches all rejoiced and so forth. It was a word. It was a noun word in season, in time. So you may have seen that happen. To another, the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge. We see this a lot. And by the way, gifts don't only function. Put it this way. Because we make such a distinction. Sometimes people think that gifts should only work in church. That's because our concept of church is wrong. This is not church. You are the church. Okay? You are the church. That's the church where the gifts function. So wherever the church is where the gifts can function. So while I'm cleaning carpet every now and again, the Holy Ghost will drop something in. And I'm sitting there going, huh? For real? Lord? Yeah. Yeah, tell him, tut, tut, tut. And I'll turn around and tut, tut, tut. And the dude's like, yeah? And I'm like, Lord. But yes, that happens. Why? Because we are the church. Now, it can happen, and this man was a born-again believer. And so it can happen there. It can happen wherever he wants it to happen. And by the way, just because the scripture says to one is given this gift doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit can't at any other time give you a word of knowledge, even though it may not be your primary gift. Okay. Now, remember what the gift is for. Now, the gift is not to make me look spiritual. The gift does not make me look deep. Okay. The gift is so that all may profit. So that all may profit. God help us to keep that clear first. Amen. Through the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit. My God. I tell you, I believe there's times where I've seen all of these gifts in operation. I remember a meeting that we were in, Sister Josephine. Oh, this is back in the day. This is 85. We're in a worship service. And Sister Donna, who's here old enough? No one's here been here long enough to know Sister Donna. Sister Donna's from Germany. Sister Donna would dance all during the service. Whenever the music starts, Sister Donna was up and she's dancing around and she's dancing before the Lord. And just Minister Josephine ministered to her. She went out in the spirit. Sister, she's lying on the floor. Sister Josephine goes to Brother Joseph, lays hands on him. He gets to jumping. And he's a big guy. He's jumping up. He jumped over all his weight, landed on Sister Donna's ankle. Sister Donna let out a yell. I mean, she was in pain. And, of course, people were like all tense up and everything. Sister Josephine, and with a gift of faith. I mean, you ever seen a gift of faith in operation? When the gift is it's like when the person believes, when you don't have the gift, you're sitting back going, oh, what's going to happen? She just pushed everyone aside. Don't worry, this woman. I mean, she wasn't that big of a lady, but she just said, don't worry. She reaches down, grabs the one, in Jesus' name, threw the leg. Sister Donna jumped up, woo, dancing, and all the pain was gone. I mean, she just believed God, and it happened just as she believed it. And I mean, in one moment she was crying with pain and she was in bad shape. And the next moment she was just touched by the spirit and power of God and just turned loose. And, God gives these gifts. He gives these gifts. Okay. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. Anybody ever laid hands on anybody, seen someone heal? I'm sure. Come on. Come on, brother. I know. We lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. By the way, that's a Mark 16 gift to every Christian. Come on. So you can lay hands on people and see them heal. But then God gives to some of us gifts of healing. Is it so that you can look at me when I walk in church? No! It's so you can help Sister so-and-so when she gets sick. That's why God gives you the gift. But what do? Oh, the healer's coming. Oh, everybody better get there. Come on, y'all. Lord, help us to function as a church. Help us to really function as the body of Christ. You know, when my toe itches and I go down to scratch it, the toe doesn't go, here comes the hand. Oh, he's on his way. Everybody get ready. Other toes get ready. No. No, he's part of the body. He doesn't get excited. He expects, come on down here. Take care of me, man. Come on. I'm just using the body like Paul was using the body. He just used the body to teach, right? Okay. And so, gifts of healing to another, working of miracles. Carl told me a story about the bishop when he prayed for the woman. Tell the woman, the woman who was dead. Can you tell it? That the woman he raised from the dead. Do you know it? Can you share?
Working of miracles. I may not give. Actually, the Holy Spirit is working and is doing amazing things back home in Uganda. There have been a couple of testimonies of people that the Lord has literally rescued from death. This woman was sick, and the bishop was told, but before he could travel to go to where the woman was, he was called. Just like it was with Jesus, they called and said, that woman has passed. She's going to be with the Lord. You don't have to travel to come. And the bishop said, put the phone on her ear. Put the phone on her ear. And he spoke a word through the phone into the woman's ear. And the next thing, the relatives of the woman, they were running around and jumping. The woman had responded to the prayer. And that story was actually investigated by the media, by the international media, BBC. BBC is the British Broadcasting Corporation, like CNN. And they investigated the story, and they found the story to be credible and true. And it was documented. And the Lord is doing many such things. I can speak of many, many things. Since I have the microphone, I can add on one. The other day, I called my wife. I was back in Uganda. There was this wonderful dear brother. We used to worship with him. We loved the Lord together before we came here. And he was an elderly man. He supported us. He ministered to us. We were like his children. And since I've been here, I've never gone back to visit him. On this particular day, I had been preaching in church. And after I preached in church, there was a real urge in me to go and visit him. And I did everything I did. I visited places. It rained very hard, and people came to be counseled and supported. And by the time I was done with it, it was around 7 p.m. in the night. But my spirit said, you have to go and visit Brother Paul. And I just said, Lord, I'm going to obey. And I had two young ladies in the car that I was driving with. And one of them says, they call me Grandpa. Grandpa, if the spirit is saying to you, obey, let's go. Let's go and see this man. So I go through for the man. I don't even remember his home. And I'm asking people, and I'm asking around, and I'm asking around. Eventually, I get to his home. And this is what happened. As soon as we entered the house, his wife took a while to recall me, to remember, because I was a young man when I left there, and you can see what I look like now. And she was so excited. She yelled, said, oh, Brother Dumbo, you should have been here earlier. Why did you choose to come today? Unfortunately, Brother Paul will not see you. He will not talk to you. He will not hear you. He will not even know that you came around. He has cancer, and he's been in this state for a very long time. He doesn't talk. He doesn't see. He doesn't hear. And he's not going to respond to your visitation. And I found members of his church who had come. They had prayed and they were going away. I'm not trying to exalt myself here. But they were there. And so the lady goes back into the bedroom and, you know, does what we all do, prepares the... In Africa, it's different, by the way. We visit, and until we see the sick person, we haven't visited. We haven't seen the sick. So anyway, she goes, prepares the sick person, says no word, talks no word, and then she comes us and says, he's ready, but just come. As soon as I walk in the room, I give God the glory. As soon as I walk in the room, Brother Paul opens his eyes. Brother Paul opens his eyes. And he looks. And he says, who is this? Is this Dombo, my son? And he talks. And the wife is yelling and crying and saying, he has talked. And everybody is coming around to say, he's talking. And listen, I haven't even prayed. Mm-mm. No. And I sit down and we begin to hold a conversation with this man who hasn't been talking for weeks. And I call my wife and I give her I give him the phone and they talk. And we talk and talk. And we're just praising God. And everybody is saying, actually earlier I had said when we were in the room, when she told me these words and said, Brother Paul will not see you. I uttered a prophetic, I made a prophetic utterance. I said, Brother Paul will jump again in the house of the Lord. And so it was in that unction that I went into the room. I give God the glory. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So, what does that do for the profit of all? It's profiting Brother Paul, his wife, his whole household, the church in Uganda, come on, wherever that has gone and has just profited you and I, that gift was in manifestation, all hinged upon obedience. Obedience. My God. All right. So the working of miracles. I had a guy working for me, was a pastor, who... And the doctor verified this. You know, when you have a heart attack, it leaves a scar. And they can go and test you and see the scar and verify the fact you had a heart attack. Well, he had gotten up in the middle of the night. This was years ago, but he had gotten up in the middle of the night, go to the bathroom, and began to feel nauseated and started to vomit, and which can be a sign of a heart attack. And so... Right, he was standing in the bathroom, and he said, Pat, the lights are going out. He just sees everything's getting dark, and he passes out. Well, at the time, his wife had gotten up out of the bed and was just opening the door to see him falling out. And she ran in, and she grabbed him as he was going to the floor. And they're both Christians. And she said, down in the name of Jesus, she shook. Said, come back here, because he was gone. I mean, he was literally gone. And when she shook him, he come out of it and came back. And she called him back from where he was. And then he ended up going to the doctor, and the doctor said, oh, yeah, you had a heart attack, all right. You had a heart attack. And so God at will release these gifts so that we can all profit by them. The book of Acts, when Peter raised Dorcas from the dead, at the end it said there was great joy in that city and many people came to the Lord. Many people came to the Lord. Okay. To another then, prophecy, the gift of prophecy. And you'll remember that Paul said, he said to desire spiritual gifts. But especially that you may prophesy. Especially that you may prophesy. Why do you think Paul would say prophecy? Why? Well, I have some leanings. And you hear me all this time say, when God speaks, everything changes. Everything changes. When God speaks to a person, everything changes. So much so that God literally has spoken to everyone through his word. It's here for everyone. He's spoken through creation, of course. But when God speaks, life comes to the individual to whom he's speaking. Be it through a warning, admonition, it doesn't matter what it is. His life is coming.
And so Paul said, I would that you would all prophesy so that, and then he did say, you may all prophesy. I just want you to know you can hear from God and you can prophesy. Come on. Amen. Each and every one of you. And so as Moses prophesied, when he said in the house, he will dance again in the house of the Lord. The prophetic unction. And so to some, he gives prophecy, although we all may prophesy. Someone with a prophetic gift tends to flow prophetically more often. More often, so that the whole body might profit. To another, discerning of spirits. Amen. Discerning of spirits. I've seen it in operation. I've moved in it, though I didn't know it. At the time, we were counseling, prayer / counseling. I wasn't pastor. I was elder, I believe, at the time. And a woman was in the church seated in a chair facing the minister. And I had come up behind and simply said, Lord, come and do what no man can do. And when I said that, she went, yeah! And she screamed. And at that moment, I knew a demon, whatever it was, I don't know what your theology holds, whether it was in, around, about, under, over top, whatever it is. All I'm going to tell you is this. It, something come out of that woman. Oh, yes. And that night, she got delivered. Oh, yes. She got delivered that night. And it was by the Holy Ghost. I mean, something that the Holy Ghost initiated. Sometimes, like you said, you didn't know that that prophetic word just came out. It wasn't something that you meditated on. I'm going to get in here and I'm going to say this. No, it doesn't happen like, no, it comes from the Holy Ghost. It comes from the Spirit. And the Spirit rises up and he does and he speaks and he says, and then it happens. And you find yourself in a move of God. It's the way it works. So there's the discerning of spirits and other different kinds of tongues. Some people debate whether or not these gifts are still around, but I assure you, they are around. I've seen them in operation. Different kinds of tongues to another, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things. So although the gifts are different and varied, there's still oneness. There's still oneness. Like the Father, like the Son, like the Spirit. Though they're different, they're one. He's made us like his body. We are his body. But he's made us like himself. God our Father, the Son and the Spirit. He's made us like himself. And so, but one and the self-same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Let me share one other passage of Scripture, Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. Having then gifts differing according to the grace. And Paul, speaking here, tells that each one of us has received a measure of faith for the gifting that God has given us. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Can I encourage you? Let us use our gift. You say, I don't know what my gift is. Well, we can clear that up. I mean, you can. Let me get into this, and we'll shed some we'll shed some light. Let us use them, he says. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. One of the scriptures I was going to mention in the message I intend to bring is about the prophet Agabus. Agabus comes as a prophet from came from Jerusalem to Antioch in Acts chapter 13. And the scripture says, or Acts 15, and the scripture says that he signified by the Spirit that there was going to be a famine throughout all Judea, and it came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar, and it did. Well, here's a man who prophesied about a famine that was going to affect the whole world. He was a seasoned prophet. He was an aged man. I have a prophet friend. He's gone on to be with the Lord now, David Schock. He ministered to churches in this area. A lot of people knew him. David Schock, in our old building, stood over me and my wife and prophesied. He says, our children was 1 and 2, 2 and 3, whatever the age was. He stood there and prophesied. He says, I see your children helping you in the ministry. He says, your children will grow up and they will be used of God to help you in this church. And I'm sitting, Daphne and I sitting there going, okay, glory to God. We receive it. Jesus' name, we have no idea what he's talking about, but the prophetic word came. And the prophetic word came to pass. As you see, the prophetic word came to pass. Well, this same prophet called the head of our fellowship at the time. He says, the Lord just told me, this was in 1988. He said, the Lord just told me that the Berlin Wall is coming down. And the head of our fellowship said, you have gone too far this time. He says, you know, I've heard you say a lot of things. He says, but brother, you have just gone too far. How do you know that the brother of our fellowship, he's an apostle. I mean, according to some people believe apostles. We'll get into that next week. Anyhow, and he said, as a brother, David Shaw says, he says, Dick, let me tell you. I'm just going to tell you what the Lord told me. He says, now you watch it. He says, I didn't say it. God said it. The prophet said, I didn't say it. God said it. He says, you watch it. And the next year, 1989, you remember the images on TV? There are people over there trying to get a chunk of that wall so they can have a piece and say, I got a piece of history. Because the wall came down just as God said it through the prophet. Right? And so, but it would be wrong for me, if I had a prophetic gift, to go around and say, well, God just told me that, and I heard a prophet say this the other day. He was prophesying to another well-known pastor on the West Coast. He says, well, God's going to use you in California. He said, but don't worry about, don't worry about San Francisco, because that whole part going to fall into the sea anyhow. And he just said it matter-of-factly. He was just talking and said, don't worry about that. That's going to fall into the sea anyhow. And I was like, brother, wait a second. You're prophesying to this guy and he lives in California. And you just say, oh, don't worry about that because it's going to fall into the sea anyhow. Well, people have been saying it's going to happen for years because of San Andreas Fault and all that type of thing. But was that really from the Lord? It would be wrong for me to prophesy out of my proportion of faith. It would be wrong for me to try and prophesy a big prophecy, even though I have a gift of prophecy, if I had that gift, right? So, now, he goes on and says, let us prophesy in proportion to of our faith, or ministry, or helping, let us use it in our, or waiting upon people, in our ministry. Or ministry, if we have a gift of ministry of helps, let us use it in our ministering to people. He who teaches in teaching. So we do all these things according to our proportion of faith. He who exhorts in exhortation, let us wait on it. Let us give attendance to it. If God's blessed us with that gift, let us use it. He's simply saying the same thing again. Let us use it. Let us wait on it and serve the body with that gift. He who gives with liberality. Some people, you know, some people God has blessed with a whole lot. I'm talking about materially, money. Paul talks about that in 1 Timothy chapter 6. He said, let those who are enriched in the things of this world be sure that they liberally share with others. Okay? Liberty gives others. Why? Because you ain't taking it with you. And you're nothing but a steward. And if God gave it to you, he wants to pour it through you to others to be a blessing, right? And so he says, if you have the gift of giving, do it liberally. Don't do it like Scrooge. I really don't want to give this, but here, take it. No, come on. Give with liberality. Give with liberality. Knowing that God gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Come on. He gives seed to the sower, and he's the one who blesses your harvest to make it rich. He's the one who, you see some folks with the gift of giving. You see some people in here with the gift of liberality. There's some people in here. I know some people, some other who've come through this church. They haven't had the gift of giving. Amen. In order to have the gift of giving, God got to give you something to give. Amen. Amen. And he does give people things to give. And that's another way where you can tell about people's giftings. When they start shouting and carrying on when you preaching about certain things aligned with the scripture, you just keep your ears open. If you watch and if you keep your ears, you can see where things are lining up. You can see where people are falling and everything. Okay? He who leads with diligence, the diligent to lead, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. You know, not only can you see gifts that people have, you can see gifts that people obviously do not have. Okay? So when someone, I mean, typically, when someone needs mercy, you don't send in the prophet. I'm talking about, you know, the prophet who's bringing the warning and the word of admonition. I tell you why you're on this bed. See, you need to repent and you need to get your life right. And the person laying there, you know, hello? Hello? No, seriously. There's a YouTube video of a pastor. I couldn't believe it. I watched it and I just couldn't believe it. I said, Lord, for real. This pastor, they said, I guess he's having a bad day. But, a dude fell asleep in his church. He stopped the sermon. He says, sir, he says, hey, get up. He says, man, you don't fall asleep in my church. I'm worth more than that. Who you think I am? You better get up, stay up. What's wrong with you? Then he went back to preaching. Then he came back again. He says, you the reason why us preachers don't preach good. You come up in here and sleeping like this. He went off on this man in his church. And then, you know, now you know he doesn't have the gift of mercy. He doesn't have any compassion. I question whether he really belongs in the pulpit. I mean, he may belong in the pulpit, but he needs to get his, something's upsetting him. He needs to go get right. He need to repent. He need to go before the Lord and get cleansed. Because anytime, and so another pastor, I guess this couple was talking in his church, and he was going to marry them a couple weeks later. He said to them, hey, I'm talking here. He says, when I'm preaching, this is the pulpit, the platform, you be quiet. You stop talking in the church. He says, and by the way, I'm about to marry you in 2 weeks. He says, you are a sorry man. I heard words from a pastor. I could not believe it. He told the man in the church, he says, you ain't worth 2 cents. Then he looked at the woman and says, I don't know why you're marrying him. This pastor went off. And I'm sitting up there looking at this video and I'm like, wow. Oh, he didn't, there was no gift of mercy. As a matter of fact, there was no, put it this way, Galatians 2:20 says this, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. With the gifts and all of this, I'll tell you, the answer is simply this, Christ wants to live in you. Period. It's so simple. It's not ridiculously hard. He simply wants to live in you. And when that pastor was doing what he was doing, Christ was not living. Christ was not speaking. Christ was not moving. He was not empathizing. There was nothing of the Spirit of God being exhibited in that man's life. And no one stood up and ran him off the stage, or no elder, nobody did anything. This man went on. And he berated the people. Then he turned on another person and tore him up. I mean, I'm like, dear God, what on earth is going on? And there's a number of these guys out there who just go off. And so the gifting simply isn't there. So the scripture says, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. This is the last one, and I'm going to close. I've seen a brother with this gift. And I understand why Paul said, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. This brother, man, God blesses some people with hearts so big and can be touched by just anything. And there's someone over in this area that has this gift, at least I feel. This brother of this church, it was a church in upstate New York. He's coming to church, on his way to church, saw a homeless man or someone out who didn't have a shirt. This brother takes his shirt off, gives it to this brother, and he arrives at church with no shirt. People like, brother, what done happened, man? He says, but he wouldn't do it just with, he wouldn't just say, hey, here's the shirt. This brother, when anything touched his heart, tears streaming down his heart, down his eyes. And I mean, he's just crying and weeping. I remember him coming and he visited here, not in this building, the other building. And he's just broken up about anything. He would see someone and he would feel compassion. And he just, he's just broken because he could feel with the heart of God. Now, I literally had this happen to me this past week. Every now and then, God will, with this intercession, sometimes, you know, when God will allow a spirit of intercession to hit you, and it's not by your design, and you're not sitting there going, oh, Lord, use me as an intercessor. I want to be an intercessor. So I'm driving down the road. It happened to me, the last time it happened to this extent was on the day before 9/11. On September 10th, I was in a conference listening to Jack Hayford. In the morning, after I registered, went and sat in the back, the back of the church to get my papers straight. All of a sudden, this blanket fell on me, and I began to weep and speak in tongues, rolled down off, hit the floor, and I'm just a mess. I'm just praying, and a burden hit me. I knew something was about to happen. I did not know what it was, but I'm like, dear God. I had it happen one time in an elders meeting with Pastor Andy. Shut down the whole meeting. I'm sorry. Your mother's elder, Melody, your mother was there. And your dad, of course, and I fell out. Pastor said, Pat, I need you to read Psalm 111. I read one verse. Spirit of intercession fell on me. I'm crying, hit the floor. Zelda and Rini hit the floor, and we're praying. Honey, you remember that elders meeting, right? Well, this past week, I'm driving down the road, listening to the news, and the reporter said, they say that these girls from Nigeria, these 200 girls that were abducted, that they're still around. And yes. And they said that I didn't hear the mother, but they said that the mother of one of these girls whose name was Sarita, which I'm assuming is Sarah, something along that line. The reporter said the mother was reaching out to her crying and as if to snatch her from her abductors. And at that moment, when he said that, all at once, this blanket of intercession fell. All that happened, when I heard Sarita, I thought of Jessica and Sarah. I thought of, it was like the heart of a mother. Now, men, let me tell you something. We don't know what it's like to be a woman. We don't know what it's like to be, beyond a woman, a mother. But that day, I think something hit me. And I felt what it meant to be a mother. I was driving down the road. Eyes just burst out in tears. I'm screaming. I'm bowing over, praying for these girls. I mean, it just took over me. And I'm driving down the road, trying to keep it together and everything. And you know how you get kind of, you know, people driving past and everything. And I mean, it wasn't one of these type of things. It was one of the type where you have to reach back and grab a towel like this, you know, and just throw it over your head. And I am in intercession. I said, my God. And at the same time, I believe is what the Lord was feeling. Because to have that communicated, I tell you, it was just so strong and so overwhelming. These are gifts. And I believe beyond the shadow of a doubt that what God wanted to be done through that intercession was accomplished. Or he wouldn't have brought it on me. Amen? And so he does these things. The Spirit of God allows these things to come so that all might profit. Let's stand. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word to us today. We thank you, O God, that your Holy Spirit indwells us. We thank you that your Holy Spirit has gifted us. We thank you, O God, that these gifts by the same Spirit, that we all might be one and that we all might profit. Lord, I pray. I pray, oh God, Lord, for divine unctions, oh God. I pray, Lord, that our gifts would come to the fore. Lord, that our gifting that you've gifted us for one another, that the body might be edified and built up in Christ Jesus. Lord, that it would be evident to all, and that our gifts would flow and function, oh God, for the purpose to which you've given them. Lord, that your body might be encouraged and strengthened. Bless now your house, bless now your people, bless now your body, oh God, with the life that only comes from you, Lord. And let this word live in us. Let this word be accomplished through us. Father, we pray for our good and for your glory, both now and forevermore. We pray, and everyone said amen, amen, and amen. God bless you real good.